I'm Sam Kapinski, and you are listening to the Accelerating Man series brought to you by themuggo.com. The legend sitting across the digital table is Jamie Roseborough, known as Rapido to his F3 brothers. He is the co-host of the COT podcast, an ex-G-man, and recently starred in a documentary about doing incredibly difficult things. Say hello to the people, Jamie.
Hello. That's a pretty good intro. I like my new, online persona, I guess, as it will. That's the first time anybody's ever strung those four individual things together.
I think I'm going to start doing that. I think I'm going to start doing that for all these guys that come on here because it's fun.
I think I need to update. I need to update my resume.
There you go.
I think I need to do.
Yeah, and don't act like I didn't peep that smile at the very end of it when you got your patch and you're trying to kind of hold it back a little bit. And then you saw.
Oh, it looked like I had a lump in my throat. Didn't it?
It did. It really, really did. I saw that.
That might have been the case, or it may have just been like we had been standing there in the freezing cold
for so long.
Well, it'd been a long night, obviously, right? But then what the documentary didn't show is Fiab out of Pittsburgh gave a very like testimonial story about sort of a seminal moment in his life where he was making some really poor choices. And then sort of that was the jolt that he needed to start doing better and being a better person. But it was a long story. And we're 25 miles in and 15 hours in, and my feet that I can't feel, I'm standing there on a sidewalk. All I wanted is this patch and to get in my truck. Mm-hmm. But it was a really good story. But then it was like, all right, back in formation, then we're going to get patches out, then we're going to do this thing. And so, mm-hmm. But I was a little verklempt, I guess I could say.
That reminds me of like growing up in a Baptist church, and the sermon would be like an hour long, and you're 13 years old trying to stay awake, and then the guy gets up to pray and it's like a 12-minute prayer and you're like, bro, I'm already trying to stay awake.
I'm the Baptist, going to the Baptist church too here and there. I was raised Episcopalian, but my wife is I guess Baptist more or less, and we're part of the Summit here locally. And so sometimes certain pastors will get a little long-winded where you feel like you're blessing your shoelaces at some point.
All right, man,
how are you? You doing all right?
I'm doing well. I'm doing really well. It was a busy week, but I'm glad it's the weekend. Yeah. It is Friday, August 7th at 8:40 p.m. And we're going to get started. Let's go. So, first question, I guess you kind of know what this is. I emailed you some questions, and people listening hopefully know what this is. Hopefully they listen to the first two. This is number three. So in what area of your life are you currently focused on acceleration?
So for me right now, it's the principle and concept of living third. And I don't know, open the kimono here. I haven't listened to your first two episodes. So is that, is this a Rapido theme?
No. So my dad spoke about faith. Banjo spoke about fitness and a couple other things. So this is right on
Perfect.
Schedule. We're good.
Yeah. So mine is, living third. And
what's that mean?
So what that means is waking up in the morning and trying to get myself right physically. That's a little bit of my time, right? Before the kids are up, before the house is really going and getting things together. But I'm focused on providing and selfless acts of service for my immediate family. So my wife and my kids, but also putting myself on the back burner of some other things work-wise or other personal things to where I'm just really thinking about others before self. And it's a hill to climb when you've not necessarily thought of or had that sort of life approach or social approach. And what, it's each day trying to think about, well, okay, what is maybe one little thing I could do? What's a major thing I could do? What's a series of things that I could do that's going to make life here in the house a little bit better, or life just between the relationship between my spouse and I, or even down to a little more granular, with my kids, with each kid, like each, you have a relationship as a dad to your 2.0s, to your kids. But then you have another sub-level relationship with each one, just like you do with your wife. And so I've thought recently about you know, a lot of times we get perspective out of tragedy. Something bad happens, you're adjacent to, you're maybe 1,000 miles away from. It's oftentimes bad situations that bring about the most perspective. And I've tried to make a concerted effort to be in a position to get that type of perspective out of positive things or just out of normal everyday life, as mm-hmm. opposed to sort of being like, you know, something bad happens and everybody tends to be, man, I'm going to make some changes, or I'm going to do something different, or I'm not going to do the things the way I've always done. And so I wanted to take it on as a personal challenge to say, just how many things can you do sort of out of your normal routine that would put yourself on a back burner or take the lead somewhere within your household, or, you know, F3, for instance, or maybe it's your church, maybe it's your job, that you might not normally raise your hand or step forward for.
Sure.
So that in totality is kind of living third. I'm sure Dredd and Doa have a more specific definition.
Sure. But yeah, I think that gets to the heart of it. It's kind of figuring out a way to, it's just like it sounds, living third. You put yourself behind everyone else and kind of put yourself, what am I trying to say? I guess you prioritize others above yourself. And that's a way to serve and a way to love people better, I think. So
right.
We talk about this, you know, this desire to live third and try to figure out better ways, more ways that you can do that. What kind of led you to decide that, hey, this needs to happen? What sort of failure did you notice in your own life that kind of spurred that change?
I don't know. It's tough to pinpoint exactly, but I think it was a culmination of COVID in, you know, 4 or 5 months ago. It really is you and your spouse and your 2.0s, right? And you're probably at home, you know, schools are closed, work shut down. The house could potentially be a tinderbox if you're not careful, right? And so little things can become big things. Things can be misinterpreted. You're not getting your own space. You're out of your routine. You're out of your comfort zone. There's a lot of unknowns that are putting stress and pressure on a situation that we are totally unprepared for and unfamiliar with, because it's something that we've never had to deal with and something we never potentially thought we'd have to deal with in our lifetime,
right.
Particularly to the degree to which we've been dealing with it. And so I had sort of this notion of how can we take such a negative thing, such a disruption, and turn it into something positive, and turn it into a time where we would not ordinarily get to spend all this time with our kids, right? We wake up, right. We spend about 45 minutes to an hour with them, maybe get them off to school, go to work for 8-9 hours, get home, rush through night routine with homework and dinner and bedtimes, and you're not listening, and you're not doing what I asked you to do. I'm repeating myself 1,000 times. It's really apropos that my F3 name is Rapido. I mean, it's just,
yeah, exactly.
But that's no different than every parent out there that just is on a broken record with some things, depending on the season they're in with their kid, or, you know, what age their kids are. But I wanted to be able to think about this years from now and look back and say to myself, or especially with Lindsay and I, my wife, to say, man, that was a wild and crazy time, but it was a time that with each other and with our kids that we never necessarily envisioned having. And it's maybe potentially something that wouldn't happen again that way, to where everybody's working under the same roof, working and living under the same roof all day, right. every right. day. And so in the first few week or two of COVID, there was some pretty significant, like, and it wasn't even anything real, real major, right? It was, it's just the stress of the new situation. And it's like, my routine's disrupted. I'm a strategic analyst by nature. And so when I don't have the ability to plan, or plans can just rapidly keep evolving and changing, that's not necessarily good for me personally. So there were some blowups, and it was like, why am I getting so angry so quickly? Or why am I adding stress to a situation when it's already stressful and I could be handling it totally differently? Why am I making this about me? Why me? Why me? Because that's what it kind of kept boiling back down to, was what is this narcissism that you've got going on, that it's like, woe is me. This isn't an isolated thing that's happening to you. This is a situation that's affecting literally the entire planet. And you are the leader of your household. You're supposed to be the leader of your household, and you're acting like a jackass. So it was, and I think too, in a combination of my daughter just turned 7. And so I've got all this sort of like timeline in my head of like being 7 years old and really starting to have vivid memories at that age. First, second grade is about as far back as I can go. I mean, there's some kindergarten stuff, but it's not clear. Like, I think I can remember things in first or second grade. So I wanted to be sure that as that foundation in her brain starts developing, and especially with a 3-year-old son who is doing everything that the sister does and is being incredibly impressionable and, you know, it's just a sponge all day long, all the time, I made a concerted effort to say, you can't do these things that you've been doing. All right. You've got to approach a situation differently. If something goes sideways in the middle of something, you've got to not fly off the handle for no reason. Being that sort of voice of reason or that calming presence or that sort of thoughtful dad, as opposed to a reactionary dad that I probably have been, I think is a long-winded roundabout way to say that sort of that nexus of things was sort of a wake-up call for me.
Sure. And I think it's interesting that you point out that, you know, by trying to start living third, you know, you kind of think that you're putting yourself on the back burner and, you know, you're going to take less of the focus off of yourself. But really and truly, like, it just shines a big spotlight at all the things that you need to get better at. Right. And it's like, dang, right. I thought I was doing a good job. And you can't get down on yourself.
Right.
You can really get down on yourself.
And I think there's a piece of that of thinking, like, I don't want my kids' memories. I think I have this scenario in my head where I picture the memories as positive as the ones that I have. There's obviously negative ones and bad things happen, and it's part of life and growing up. But if I can make a bit of an effort more so than I was, which essentially wasn't an effort at all, then I think that's a step in the right direction. And there's been serious, you know, backwards movement on this. This hasn't just been an upward trajectory since, you know, end of March. It's been up and down, but it's trending up, sort of like the stock market, we hope, right? It's always going up somewhat. You may have a bad day or two here and there, or some massive bad days, but essentially you hope to recover, and it keeps pushing forward. And I'll tell you another thing. Hello Kitty and I had a conversation, and I think it was on COT, or it could have been another time, but we sort of got jolted in, because him and I have daughters about the same age, of sort of the pressure that you're under as a dad, whether you realize it or not, that a young girl's impression of what male leadership looks like, or males who would potentially be, you know, partners, significant others, husbands in the future, whether you sort of like it or realize it, you as a dad are setting that example of how, what those expectations are, how somebody gets treated in a relationship. So whether that's with myself and my wife or mom, or that's with her specifically. So there's a lot of pressure there. And if you really sort of peel back the layers, you're like, wow, not only have I got all this pressure of being a dad in general, now I've got this, you know, relationship pressure of setting this example. And so that was, I think, part of it too, because I certainly wasn't meeting a standard that should have been met in that too. So it was a combination of those things, I think.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about kind of like, you kind of recognize what was going on, recognize that you needed to do something a little bit different. What sort of specific things were you attempting to try to do to change your ways and start to put yourself third? What was the plan?
Initially simple steps of shutting down technology and leaving my laptop up here where I'm at, we're recording the bonus room over the garage, which you can see behind me is like a catch all of Barbie houses and cribs and an unmade guest bed and a, you know, store. It's just a bonus room, right? But leaving work up here and not having basically work across the whole house. I do read your content. So I saw your video of your home office on YouTube, which I thought was great, by the way. The deadpan of the things you were saying based off of Shut-In's car review was just, it was chef's kiss.
No, it's funny. He's come up in a couple of these and he's not been on yet. So I'll have to get him on here eventually.
But so technology was sort of the first thing. And I also did I leave my phone downstairs. I used to always have the phone in the bedroom, like by the bed. I think that's probably a pretty common thing. But I started keeping the phone on the charger downstairs. And so throughout dinner and all that stuff, the phone's on the charger, the phone's, you know, it's not visible. It's not beeping. It's not buzzing or anything. But focus on dinner prep, eating dinner, cleaning up, talking about, you know, whatever there is to talk about to keep kids occupied or to try to engage, you know, Lindsay in meaningful or substantive conversation. So shutting off technology was a big one because I was constantly looking at it. If it's there, I think it's going to look at it. It's kind of like with my diet. If I keep crap in the house, I'm going to eat the crap. So if I can get in and out of the grocery store and not come home with, you know, stock options and Little Debbie, then I'm not going to consume the Little Debbies. So my theory there was, okay, so if I'm not removing myself from technology, like I'm not deleting Instagram, I'm not deleting the Twitter, I'm not deleting that stuff just because it's like a rash decision. I'm just going to cold turkey this thing. It's just, I'm going to like make a concerted effort to essentially put the device in a box. And it's not going to be a part of my life during this time period where I really should be devoting my attention to the wife and kids.
Right. It's, I heard it said this way, you know, I want to make sure I get this right. You're not removing the technology from you. You're removing yourself from the technology. Technology is always going to be there. So
totally agree.
You need to learn how to put boundaries and put limits on things. And that's healthy. That's a good thing. So I think that's a really practical thing. I mean, what else? Anything else that you were trying to focus on?
I've got quite a bit of flexibility with my job. I'm pretty fortunate in that. And they've been super flexible with everybody in terms of, you know, light of the current work environment and the work from home and COVID and all that. So it got to the point where I could get some leave early on in the process when we really know what was going on. We were allowed a lot of admin leave with my job to where I didn't have to use like PTO, but I could request a couple hours a day or a couple hours every other day. Cause when we first started, you know, Lindsay's a teacher. And so she had to make the transition from teaching high schoolers in person to all of a sudden figuring out high school teaching on Zoom and, or Teams or whatever they use. Mm-hmm. And so, which required a boatload of work, you know, cause if you do all these lesson plans, you're expecting to be in a class and you're doing interactive things and people are breaking into small groups and they're doing all this stuff. And then all of a sudden you're thrown into this virtual world. I mean, she's up till 2 o'clock every morning.
Yeah.
So me being able to say, okay, I can get my work done between X hours in the morning, midday, and then sort of shut it down for the afternoon, take the kids, get out of the house as much as you could. You couldn't go anywhere at that time. Still very limited now, obviously, but could at least remove some distraction from the situation here under the house, under the roof, so she could focus and get some work done and try to get some extra sleep, and not stay up all hours of the night. And then once we got through the end of the school semester and summer started, she took that back off of me to where, cause she had, you know, full days of summer as a teacher. But then at the same time, it's like, okay, so what else can I still be doing? Because I still have this flexibility. Mm-hmm. So took on meal planning and basically execution of dinners.
Very nice.
Probably 5 or 6 nights a week. So,
all right. So real quick, we're going to take a little sidebar here. What was the best thing that you've had this summer, menu-wise, and what's the worst thing you've had so far, menu-wise?
The best thing is easily I smoked a tri-tip. You ever had tri-tip?
I have not. Sounds good though.
So tri-tip is a cut of beef that's not necessarily popular on the East Coast. It's a very popular thing in California. Santa Maria is another like region of California where it's incredibly popular. And I forget exactly what cut of beef it is, but it's you know, it's kind of shaped like a triangle. It, you know, like a tri-tip hat almost. Sure. But I read up on a few different recipes, came up with a rub. I smoked it in the smoker with some, I guess it was hickory chips. Oh, it was just, it was out of this world. It was outstanding.
Yeah. I feel like I probably saw that on the Cook's channel.
Oh, you did. You certainly did. And then the worst thing, it was not long ago, and I'm trying to remember what it was, but it was like one of these where you're like, this is going to be great. And you put all this effort into it and you go to three different grocery stores to find what you need. And like you get it all plated and you basically used every dish or utensil in your house to get this thing made. And you've got a pile of dishes that you can't even see over. And you take one bite and you're like, nope, this is terrible. Like, what did I do? What step did I miss? Or what ingredient did I misuse? I'm trying to think what it was. I think it was like a, wasn't the short ribs because those were good too. I can't remember what it was, but it was something that we were both really excited about. And I spent all this time and energy to put into it. And it was like, it was inedible. And I'm a person that really prides themselves in cooking. I cooked in college in a couple of different restaurants, learned a lot of life skills there and have continued to like grill and smoke meat and come up. I'm like one of those where I would be really good at, what's the one on Food Network where you like get a box and you got to open it up and then there's like random stuff in there?
Chopped. Is that it?
Chopped. Yeah. So yeah, if I could do like a good, I'd be good at Chopped because I can take up things out of the random, out of the fridge, out of the pantry and make something decent. But this, I think it was a chicken dish. I can't believe I can't remember it. It was that bad. You forgot about it, right?
Yeah. No, I've been there, man. I've been there on the nights when it's, you're up till 11:30 at night doing dishes because you know you pick the most involved recipe you could possibly find and then it sucked. That's like the worst.
Yeah, we had before kids we had started down like the Blue Apron path or Fresh whatever the other Hello Fresh, and those were good, and but for two people it never was really quite enough, and then to get the box for four people it was way too expensive and too much food. But those, in my experience, those like meal kits, you use half your kitchen too. So I don't know, but yeah, but I've taken the bulk of the meal planning off, and that's probably been one of the most eye-opening things, I guess, for lack of a better term, the amount of time, energy, and effort that gave back to my spouse. I think that's been probably the most rewarding thing so far, because when she comes home or whatever from a long day, or she's been with the kids or whatever, there's everything she needs in the fridge. Everything's in the pantry. There's always breakfast items. There's always lunch meat. There's always bread. There's always all the things. And then, but you know, like tonight she got home at 6:30 on a Friday. I went to the school and picked up Grayson. Then we went and got, Baird, who's our son. And then came right home. I already got them showered and bathed and in pajamas because we're hosing them down essentially since they're back in school. Every day they get a shower as soon as they come home. Yeah. But the fact my wife walked in the door at 6:30, the kids are clean and in pajamas and dinner's basically being plated. I mean, I think that's probably peak living third in her love language would be acts of service is one of them. And so like that just makes the entire night have a different tone, if you will.
Sure.
So,
so let's keep going with that. I mean, what are some of the other kind of fruits of your labor? You've been doing this since March, you know, what are some of the positive things that you've seen come out of this?
I think the positives is just sort of the general acceleration of the relationships, of the fun back and forth banter between me and the kids or me and the wife. I think there's less tension most days. Things are easier. It's hard to have anything easy when you've got a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old. But we're sort of through a couple of those most challenging times because now, My son's back in daycare. And like I said, my wife and daughter are back in school. So now I find myself with the house all to myself all day long, and I can get work done. I can get chores done. I can take a nap if I wanted to do that. but like today, the kids are at school. It's a Friday afternoon. My work day today was somewhat light. My week was sort of front end loaded with several different projects. So I got a trip to the grocery store in, I got the truck inspected. I filled up some propane tanks. I mean, I did knock some things off the list that now I don't have to take up time on a Saturday,
right,
to do when we can go to the pool, or we can go on a hike, or we can go on a bike ride, or we can start keep building those quality time blocks together to help make some of these positive memories and thoughts that I'm trying to do as a dad.
Right. So it's what I'm hearing from you, it's mostly relational. The positives that you've seen, the fruits that you've seen from this has been with the relationships of the people that mean the most to you, you know, your wife and your kids. And I think that, like, as I get older, I'm not wise by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm starting to recognize that, you know, fame and fortune and success is great. It's wonderful. But the currency of relationships is the most important thing in this world. Mm-hmm. We see that a lot in F3. You know, there's no two guys that are alike.
I'm going to write that down. The currency of relationships.
There you go.
I've never heard that before. That's awesome.
I told you, I can be wise sometimes.
Yes.
But it's that's the important thing, you know, and that's what we're striving for. And I'm glad to hear that that's been kind of, you've been realizing that as you've been putting in the effort for this. So any other positives?
Not specifically, I don't think. I think it's helped just generally with motivation towards other things. It's easy to be, as we say in the F3 world, it's easy to fart sack, and it's easy to start your day on a lazy note, and that'll set the tone. I'm 100% a believer that sets the tone for the entire day.
Right.
If you start your day off in a bad mood, right? Or you feel like you've got 100 things to do before you even get to work. It's hard to set yourself up for success. And if you can't set yourself up for success, then you're certainly going to struggle, I think, to set up your household or your kids or even your spouse. And so,
right, you're the foundation, and if you're shaky,
exactly, you
know, the whole house is going to be shaky.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Well, tell me about some of the challenges that you've faced and maybe are currently facing.
I think the ongoing challenge, and it some days is harder than others. The ongoing challenge for me is, since this, I think, is still very new in sort of my general approach to life, as it will, or as it were. It's hard not to feel sort of this sense of owed, or I don't want to use the word entitlement, but I feel it's hard to not be like, man, I'm just busting my rump around the house inside and out, running kids all over hell and half of Wake County.
Yeah. Keeping a scorecard.
Right. Yes. And that has been a challenge for me personally for years and years and years in my marriage, but even in relationships I had before, I got, you know, connected with my spouse. So that's always been I don't know if that's a jester in F3 speak. It probably is. But this feeling of, well, I did, you know, I worked my tail off from the moment I got up this morning until 9 o'clock, and I just want to keep sitting here, or I don't want to do this, or I think, you know, I'm owed this, that, or the other thing. So that is something that keeps sort of pulling me backwards, I think. You know, I said earlier, I've taken a few steps back. And I think the more success I see in what I've been able to do, and the more I see the difference it's making in my kids' lives or my wife's life, I think that's what I'm trying to focus on, to not sort of slip back into that I'm owed feeling. Mm-hmm. Or the, what have you done for me lately? Or when are you going to do something for the house? Or when are you going to, I've asked you 14 times about this one thing that I can't actually do, but I need to get done because it's a, you know, it's on my critical path in the project management world. So that's my biggest hill that I think I'm still climbing. And that may be one that'll always be climbing. And you can, in some days it's non-existent. It's really quite interesting. Some days it's non-existent, and I can go and then crash and be great. And I can go again the next day and crash and be great. But then it's like, I've had enough. I don't have much more to give. I'm all out of patience. I'm all out of, you know, so it's an interesting piece to this that I don't know. I was cognizant of it going to be an issue when I started this journey, and I should have been, which is odd because I know that about myself, but at the time I wasn't necessarily thinking of it.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. And I think probably everybody on some level does that, kind of keep that scorecard. And here's another quote for you. This isn't mine, this is somebody else's, but what is it? Comparison is the thief of contentment.
Well, it's worth repeating. I'm going to write that down.
I think that's what it is, yeah.
Comparison is the what?
The thief of thief. Contentment. Yeah, and the idea there being that, you know, you can be doing just fine, and then you see somebody else that's got something that you don't have that you didn't even know existed mm-hmm. 10 minutes ago, and you see somebody else has it, and you're like, well, why don't I have that? You were content 2 seconds ago, and now all of a sudden, because you're seeing yourself relative to somebody else. And so it's the same thing in that sort of relationship where, you know, hey, we've got this task list to do. I did 70% of it. When are you going to start pulling your weight? Right. When really, you know, hey, I got 70% of it. We only have 30% left. Like, it's like, and being content with that, you know, if you're stacking yourself up against somebody else, you know, as far as tasks are concerned, yeah, of course you're not going to be happy with it. Not going to be happy with you. Right.
Right. And it totally erodes all that you work towards in the first place.
Exactly.
And so I think what I've tried to get into my noodle, my headspace is where I place value, or what I have traditionally thought of as the most valuable elements of a relationship, or what have you. I think I've had misplaced value or expectations that are lofty, or, you know, they just are not practical or reasonable. Because I think it's hard too, because when you're in a marriage, you know, marriages have seasons. When you have kids, your marriages have seasons, but you have seasons with your kids, and some are, and not all seasons are created equal. So I think it's hard to make a concerted and conscious effort to keep thinking about how different your life can be month to month, quarter to quarter, year to year. But at the same time, then being able to tell yourself, how do you reassess your current situation to keep finding the positive, to keep understanding like what you're doing is making memories, it's creating life skills, it's developing relationships, it's setting an example in your house, setting an example in your community or your professional life. And it's a lot of work, and it's, mm-hmm. there's some intentionality behind it, because the easy thing to do is not do anything. And so when you get into that mode, you're just going to keep decelerating. Right. I think the whole point of acceleration is you've got to be moving forward to do it. If you're not moving forward, you're by default moving backwards. There's not really stagnation. And I don't think I realized that too before this process. Mm-hmm. I don't think I was well versed or bought into the notion of, I think I could be, well, I'm static this week, I'm just not going to do anything. But it's actually, you're moving backwards.
Exactly. So. Exactly. Like if you just stop working out, yeah, you're being stagnant, but you're losing ground as far as your fitness is concerned.
Right.
I think it's interesting that, I do this a lot where I have ideas and then they just escape me quickly.
Well, it's Friday. It's been a long week.
It'll come back to me eventually. So we'll just move on from there.
Okay.
So what, I don't know. I mean, is there any part of you that wishes you were just kind of doing what you used to be doing, you know, and you didn't, kind of make this goal to yourself to start living third? And, you know, is there any part of you that's just like, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that?
Probably only on the days where I'm regressing and I'm thinking I'm owed something.
Right.
That, you know, all the other days that are really good and that are fruitful for me personally, because they're rewarding for something that I was able to do or help someone with, or I see the fruits of that labor in how it helps out my spouse. But then there's, when you're on those sort of negative days in your headspace, having a woe is me type moment, and you're thinking, man, the more I crush it, the more that expectation rises that I'm going to continue to crush it. Right.
Yeah.
And so it's like, did I open a Pandora's box of something that I wasn't necessarily, thinking about it at the time. And so I think that comes back to what we were just talking about, in I've got to figure out better ways on those down days to get out of that mentality. And I think the one positive thing in, you know, assessing the last 4 to 5 months has been the down days are coming fewer and far between. So that's, I think, a positive, and that's trending. And the more you do stuff right, the more habit forming it becomes. And so as I continue to hopefully have less and less frequent emotions tied to feeling like I'm owed something or a woe is me type moment, hopefully those get more and more consumed with, you know, realizing and placing better value on things that I'm not necessarily traditionally inclined to place value on.
Sure. That makes sense. I remembered my point that I was going to make.
What was it?
It was about empathy and just how, you know, putting yourself third, putting yourself in a position of, you know, doing the meal planning and doing chores around the house and all that kind of stuff, you know, rather than chalking that up on the scorecard, instead viewing it as, hey, look, now I can empathize with my wife when she has a crazy day and the kids were going nuts and, you know, everything that she was trying to do was going wrong. And then I come home from work and, you know, I'm just pissed off about something, you know. When she looks you in the eye, you can see the desperation. You can see that she's stressed. You know, you now know, oh, yeah, I know what it's like to have to meal plan and do this and do that and all this different stuff. And, you know, I think when you have that perspective, it kind of kills your pride, right? Because you're like, you're thinking, you know what, she ought to do this and this and this, and now I feel this way and, you know, whatever. And then you see that and you recognize, you know, I've been in that position too. I know what that feels like. It really sucks. But forcing yourself to remember that in that moment when you feel like something's been, you know, you've been done wrong or something like that. I think that's so important to do that. And it's a good thing that you're doing some of the things you're doing, because it's giving you a new perspective.
Yeah. And what, one of the more frustrating elements of that is this, and I guess it's an innate quality. Maybe it was something that was developed at an early age that I don't recall, but this feeling of being owed, or this feeling of, well, I have just, you know, done X, Y, and Z for whatever time frame, that I'm owed something. It's quite juvenile, I feel. And so I get frustrated by that notion that, why am I feeling this way? I should be more mature than that. I should be older than that. I should be wiser than that at this stage. But it's tough to shake. But I think part of that recognition there is also helping me to keep sort of driving forward and to say, what else can I do? If I start feeling that way, I need to be doing something more. I need to be doing something additional. I need to add a new something to the rotation, whether that's, okay, I'm not ready to tackle the laundry. Like, let's be honest.
the worst job in the house.
I mean, I do mine and that's hard enough. Usually it ends up in like 3 laundry baskets that I just pull clean clothes out of. They never actually make it back into the, and I'm like, you lazy.
And you're fine
POS.
With that. You're fine.
I'm fine with that. But the thing that's like, you lazy piece of shit. Like, what are you doing? Put your clothes away. What are you, 5? And, you know, that's just sort of an aside, but it's like, okay, even taking on like not necessarily my wife's laundry, but like the kids, right? Because she does those. Mm-hmm. Do the kids' laundry. That would be a huge weight lifter off of her plate. Or I tend to do most of the dishes because I do most of the cooking now. But we've got like a Roomba, you know, like a yeah. little robot vac.
That, a little lifesaver.
My mother-in-law gave us. And so I programmed that thing and it does its thing. And I'm thinking, hey, it's clean. House is clean. This is nice. No, it's just, you know, picks up like dog fur and that's about it.
Exactly.
So it's like, okay, well, should I make an effort to like clean the house more regularly, top to bottom? Because I already maintain to the outside world, grass, bushes, mulch.
Yeah.
The outside's my domain. But see, therein lies a fault. My automatically brain says, okay, outside world is my world, the inside world is her world. And that's not really accurate. I mean, the decorating choices inside the house, yeah, sure, that's her world. Like, I'm not going to pick out curtains. But there's, I guess I say all that to say there is always more that I can be doing as living third. It's right. kind of like with your fitness, right? Or your diet. There's always more you could be doing. Like you might make some really good strides, right? You're limiting the alcohol, even though I'm, you know, partaking in a little brown water this evening. But you could eat more regularly in terms of your fruits and your vegetables and your less red meat and all the things that people tell you to do. But you make some gains in your fitness. You make some gains in your diet. And you're like, oh, I am going to have this ding dong box mm-hmm. of ding dongs that I saw at Aldi today. Right.
The so it's like,
it's not a problem. I texted Kitty the other night. Grace and my daughter had dance class and picture, you know, there's a McDonald's right next door to the dance studio. And that's usually sort of been our routine that she's finally gotten back to dance. And it's late into the night. She's like, get some, you know, chicken nuggets or whatever. Mm-hmm. And used to, I would always get me a little fudge sundae if the ice cream machine's still working. Usually not though. Funny. But stop doing that. But there was a sign, they got these bundles now at McDonald's. Have you seen this?
Mm-mm.
So I guess during COVID, they've gotten creative on how they do their menu items, but you can bundle things for like a cheaper price. So I'm then there looking at this menu item, waiting on the car in front of me to go. It's like 6 cheeseburgers and 6 fries for $13. And I'm like, challenge accepted. I could do that. There's nothing wrong with that. Now the 50 nuggets might be something my college self could have easily done the 50 nuggets.
We just had Banjo on talking about do epic shit. So maybe take an epic shit. I don't know.
Yeah. Good Lord. But so I'm thinking like, so I texted Kitty. I'm like, you want to get down on the 6 burgers and 6 fries challenge? It's like, you can't do that to yourself. Don't succumb to that and then wipe away the past 4 weeks of progress that you made on your diet and your exercise.
Right.
So the same thing is with your house, your relationships with your significant others. Don't give up on the things that you've already done. Always keep trying to, I guess, do better, right? And acquire more, because I had a mantra years ago that I think my grandfather had told me. Something along the lines of pray not for a lighter load, but for a stronger back.
Yeah.
And so I've come back to that when I guess I had just, you know, gone away from it or forgotten about it for a number of years. Because I think you can always do more, and doing a lot of go ruck events that I do and a lot of rucking events, you can always do more than you think physically. So you can probably always do more around the house. You can always do more. You just always do more. Always do more than expected. Somebody else told me that one time. So
what's the motivation keeping you focused on that going forward? I mean, you've been doing this a while. You've seemed to be pretty resolved to continue it, but what truly is motivating you to keep doing that?
It's my kids. It's my kids and my wife. Mm-hmm. It honestly is. At the end of the day, it sounds cliche, right? But they're really the only thing in the world that truly, truly matter.
Yeah.
And there's going to be highs and lows in your professional world. There's going to be ups and downs in your friends, your friendships, and your, you know, like for you and I and the brothers that we have in F3 here in Carpex. Those are up and down. A lot of them, you know, traject up like we've been talking about, but you know, you are – you are so important. You are so integral to your wife and kids that it's easy to slip on that and take that for granted. And back right. to what I said at the beginning about a lot of times it takes a negative situation to get a needed perspective. And so I keep gaining that perspective out of the positive now. And so I think seeing that change between my spouse and I, seeing that change in my house, just, you know, generally with the relationships with the kids, but also just seeing the change in myself to keep doing more and being a better dad, being a better husband, is really what keeps pushing forward. And the more I can do now, the more habit forming it becomes and more second nature it becomes, to where it's not even something that I'm hopefully not having to constantly work at like I am now in the beginning. There'll always be room for improvement and always be, you know, opportunities to do better. But if that is sort of my default setting, like I reset my default setting, then hopefully that in my mind, that is going to help provide the default setting for my kids.
Right. So. Well, I was thinking about this. I watched the F3 documentary today, during a slow point in work. And, nice. I love what they had to say about, you know, you're not here for you, you're here for your brothers. And that's that's truly what it is. I mean, when any sort of task or any sort of thing that you get yourself into, you know, the focus should never be on yourself. It should be, how am I helping the world? How am I serving people? Any jackass can live for themselves, right?
Yeah.
But to truly be a man, in my mind, and truly, like, that's what real masculinity is learning how to serve others and to live third. So man, I thank you for your example with that. And mm-hmm. good luck continuing to pursue that living third. And I'm sure there's plenty of guys who will listen to this who are right there with you, man. So myself yeah. included.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I appreciate, one, you doing this series in general, but two, asking me to be a part of it.
For sure.
It's awesome. And you're doing great things with the Muggo. And yes, I do read it. I don't think Slackbot makes me read it anymore like it did at one time. So I think that's probably, you could probably find a dip in your internet traffic once the Slackbot stopped reminding people to read the Muggo.
You know, I used to get mad at it and I hate this stupid Slackbot, but you might be right.
So yeah, so it's, you know, it's funny. Like, you've got listeners that are a part of F3, I'm sure, and don't know it as well, but I don't think I'd be obviously sitting here talking to you without F3, but I wouldn't be where I am pushing myself in life in general.
Yeah.
Beyond just being more physically fit, mentally and emotionally and along with physically has been a big jolt forward, I would say. So
yeah. I tweeted it out today. The documentary, I just quote tweeted it and said, hey, you know, if anybody was out there thinking about trying an F3 workout, just understand that it might lead you to sign up for something like this.
Yeah.
Because it's so true, man. I mean, you get around these people who are hard charging and trying to do better, and it's contagious, man.
Yeah. And I've done multiple of those events, and they're all very different. They're all incredibly hard. They're all incredibly humbling. So, you know, it's like, man, that sounds terrible. When are we doing it? Kind of situation. Like, you learn a lot about yourself, right? You obviously learn about being a team. You learn about being a leader. You learn a lot of things in 15 hours and 34 degree rain and 25 mile an hour winds and chest deep water. But
getting in the water early too.
Oh, it was so early. It was only like 2.5 hours in. But it's amazing what you can do. And you hear about, you can read a lot about this stuff, about whether it's special forces training or it's other things, what you can push your body through when your brain tells you you can't, but you still can, you can keep pushing forward. And there's a point in the documentary last night, where at the very end, and it might even be at the incredibly end or right before the end, before the mass casualty event, Shredder, who's one of the cadres, talking about, as bad as you're feeling, as rough as you're feeling, as you can't feel your feet, can't feel your hands, you're exhausted, everything in your body hurts. You can barely keep the ruck on your back. It's 35 pounds. It's been there all night. You've had as much as 90 pounds on your back, or you've been carrying your buddy who's 185 pounds for the last half mile. If the way you're feeling right now, if you're standing in front of your house and it's on fire, you're kicking in the door and you're running in there.
Right.
So you can do more than you think you can do. So you can always do more than you think you can do, unless you are physically like lying in a heap on the floor that you can't move. The human body is capable of moving mountains when it thinks it can't. So,
yep. That's right.
PSA, we got to get you out for a ruck event, my friend.
After watching that today, it's going to take a lot of convincing.
I thought you were going to say something different there.
I know you were. No, I'll do it eventually, because it looks pretty crazy. It looks stupid.
What starts you off with like a challenge or a light?
Yeah.
You do the tough stuff just yet.
I don't know. I could handle it.
I know you can. That's the key. Of course
nothing.
You can.
It's nothing.
You know, the brag heavy with me next year.
Maybe not. All right. Jamie, I appreciate it. Thank you for coming on and spreading some wisdom. And
Jamie. Yes, yeah. Sam. You're welcome.
Repeato for my F3 brothers. So, all right. You want to do the honors?
Blue Diamond.
Well done.
Is that good?